speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
I read of a story in regard to a man who was weeping uncontrollably as he sat in a courtyard, and another individual was coming through, and as he approached the individual, he couldn't help but notice the way in which this man had great tears coming from his eyes and the way in which he was just weeping loudly. And the man approached him and he asked him, he says, "Sir, what is going on?" He says, "Why are you so upset?" And the man said, "Well, let me explain in brief fashion. 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $50,000. And the man said, "Well, I'm sorry for your uncle's loss, or for your loss of your uncle, but," he says, $50,000, he says, "that's nothing to cry about." And the man says, "Well, it gets a little bit better, I guess you would say." He says, "2 weeks ago, a dear cousin of mine died and left me $90,000. And the man said, "Again, I'm sorry for your loss, but $90,000, that's nothing to cry about." He says, "I would like for that to happen to me." And the man says, "Well," he says, "let me go on to explain." He said, "A week ago, my grandmother died and she left me $1,000,000. And the man says, "I'm sorry for your loss, but," he says, "think about that gain. $1,000,000. And he says, "Why are you crying?" He says, "Are you still upset over the passing of your grandma or any of the others?" And he says, "No." He says, "What's got me is this week nothing's happened. I've gained nothing." As we think in regard to what God says for us, we understand that God supplies opportunities for man to earn his keep while we are here. We realize that God has a very special relationship with man in the fact that we have been created after the very image of God. And God wants man to understand how special we are as we read from the very first pages of Genesis where God supplied for all of Adam and Eve's needs there in the garden, in the oasis that He created for them. But also, as we read from Genesis chapter 3 concerning the fall of man, we understand that God does tell man that he has a role to play in providing for his needs, but yet at the same time, we understand that God, through his creation, that God continues to supply for the needs of man. In fact, the New Testament Scripture identifies for us in James chapter 1 and verse 17 that every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven above. Well, who is responsible for that? Good people, our God is. And God continues to supply for man's need throughout time. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, our Lord says that God sends rain upon the just and the unjust. It does not matter as to if you are a Christian or not. God is going to make certain that mankind, because we have been created by our God, is going to continue to supply for the essential things that we need in life. Yet at the same time, God says that man has a responsibility for earning his keep. God blesses each and every one of us with talents, and these talents are numerable. And what God says in regard to the talents that He lays upon us, He expects you and me to recognize the talents that we have, but also in a recognition of the talents that we have, God wants us to invest these talents in service to Him, but also as we think in regard to society, God wants us to take the talents that He places upon us and to invest those so that we will be able to be productive citizens in the world of which we reside in. And the Scripture tells us that those individuals who will not provide for their own, for those who dwell within their household, for those of whom they are responsible for, that they are worse than an infidel. The Scripture also tells us, whenever it comes to lazy individuals, that laziness should never be rewarded. In fact, the Old Testament Scripture in Proverbs, Solomon identifies that we need not to identify ourselves with the sluggard, but rather to be like the ant. The sluggard is the individual who's always laying off, always not getting involved, but yet at the same time, the ant is the one who is constantly engaged in working and supplying for the colony. And as individuals who have responsibilities to supply for our household, God wants us to be always engaged providing for our homes. And the Scripture identifies that those individuals who are indeed lazy, what is it that they can expect from life? What should they expect from life? Good people, they should expect toil and struggle, challenges on a continual basis. Why? Because they're not sowing, Good seed. They're out there sowing the seed of laziness. And as a result of that, God says that that certainly is what they ought to expect in return. In fact, God tells us concerning those who are lazy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, that if a man will not work, neither should he eat. We need to learn that as a society, that we need not to feed those who are lazy. And we need not to reward those individuals because of the laziness. But also, God identifies on the other side of the spectrum concerning greediness. Greedy people engage in all kinds of sin. The Scripture identifies for us, which was a part of our Scripture reading just a few moments ago, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And he goes on in the context of verse 10 to identify that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Those individuals who love money, and not only money, but the things that money can buy, the possessions of life, these individuals sin against God in very big ways throughout the entirety of their life. The Scripture identifies individuals who were caught up in greed. We have Ahab's wife and even Ahab himself. Ahab lusted after his neighbor's vineyard, and this lust led his wife to murder, who in turn involved the elders of Jezreel in falsehood and perverted justice to murder in injustice or those who were innocent. The Scripture very clearly identifies that murder is wrong. But not only the act of murder, those who hate their brother and would, in fact, if they could murder that individual, they might not necessarily follow through with it, but that they would desire to see harm done unto their brother. These individuals sin against God. And what often is associated with that type of a school of thought? Good people, greed. Those individuals who are not satisfied with the blessings that God bestows upon them. But also in the New Testament Scripture, we have a man identified by the Apostle Paul as Demas. And this individual, his greed caused him to leave the work. In fact, it is said concerning this man is that he loved this present age more than the age to come. And he departed from the Apostle Paul. And some scholars say that as he departed from the Apostle Paul, that he departed from the faith. But yet at the same time, certainly what we can draw from the context is that as he departed from the Apostle Paul, Paul was very much disappointed with him. Why? Because Paul was constantly engaged in the Lord's work, and whenever Demas chose to go another direction, he removed himself from the Lord's work. And how often do you and I, as members of the Lord's church, find individuals who are engaged in and with a greedy attitude, always loving money and the things that money can buy, that they will go after that. That will be their pursuit in life. And before we realize it, and I contend not only before we realize that, even before they realize what's going on, they've walked away from the Lord's work. They've embraced another pursuit in their life. God is not any longer the focal point of these individuals. But also we understand that it can even cost an individual their soul. In the context of Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, we are identified here to a rich fool, and this rich fool looked to the things that he had in life, into his material possessions. And as he looked at the things that he had, he said that he desired to tear down his barns that he had built, and to build bigger and better barns that would belong to him, so that he would be able to store up all of the goods that he had worked hard for, and that these things belong to him. And the Lord identifies in the context concerning this man is that his thoughts are foolish. Why? Because the Lord says, this night your soul will be required of you. Instead of looking to the riches that this man had possessed in life, he should have been praising God for the things that he had and using those goods to glorify our God, but also to make certain that above all he laid up for himself not treasures in earth where man was able to come in and to steal, or where the time was going to destroy, but rather wherein that he had treasures in heaven, so that whenever he faced God, that he would be able to spend eternity in heaven with our God. But also take into consideration Ananias and Sapphira, as is identified from the context of Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. In the context here, we understand that Ananias and Sapphira had a possession of land of which they sold, and as they sold that land, there was absolutely nothing wrong with them selling that land and even being able to make gain on the sale of that property. Well, what is it that God is trying to teach here in regard to this man and woman? What happened? The Scripture tells us that they plotted against God. In what sense? The Scripture identifies that whenever they sold that possession of land, evidently Ananias and Sapphira had planned amongst themselves, let's go before the apostles and let's lay a portion of what it is that we've sold this land for at their feet. Let's make it not only appear that we're giving a donation, but rather let's make it appear as if we're giving everything, every dollar over to them that we were able to get out of the possession of land. And good people, if you read from the context there, you will learn is that this man and his wife ultimately lost their life because of the fact that they had lied unto the apostles. But yet at the same time, the Scripture tells us that in their lying unto Peter and unto the apostles of that day is that they were ultimately lying unto the Holy Spirit. Well, what is it that God says? They were lying to God. What caused that? What caused them to lie to God? Greed in their heart. And God wants you and me to understand that the things that we have, that we are truly blessed by God, and that we are to be good stewards over those things. And in this is that we need to be honest and upright whenever it comes to our giving back unto God, because God certainly knows what it is that He's blessed us with, and as well as our abilities. And God says that whenever it comes to our dealings, not only with Him, but whenever it comes to our dealings in and throughout the entirety of life, is that we need to be honest with all of humanity. And as we make money in life, we also need to make certain that we earn that money in an honest and upright manner. There are certainly words of warning provided time and again in and through the Scripture. We understand is that greed is associated with pride as well as with arrogance. And those individuals who make their life pursuit about money and the things that money can buy, laying up for themselves earthly treasures, the Scripture tells us that these individuals oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes they are filled up with pride. It's about them. And about what it is that makes them happy in life. And God says that this individual is an individual who stirs up strife not only in and amongst their own life, but amongst those individuals who are constantly associated with them. The Scripture also tells us concerning the lover of money is that these individuals are never satisfied. In fact, the Scripture tells us, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. And Solomon goes on to say, this too is vanity. If you read the context of Ecclesiastes, you're going to see is that Solomon says, vanity of vanity, says the preacher. And that word vanity literally means everything that he sees is empty or it's vain before him as he considers his life. His life had been spent in pursuit of greed. His life has been spent in pursuit of what it is that made him happy versus a relationship with God. And now he says that these things are empty. Why? Because they will accomplish him nothing whenever he stands before our God and our Creator. And in the context here, he's issuing a warning to you and me, to the people of every age. And he says, don't pursue silver. Why? Because you're never going to be satisfied. Don't pursue the abundance of things that this world has to offer. Why? Because there's going to come a point in time where you're never going to be satisfied with the increase. You're always going to want more and more if your focus is here on the earth and upon the abundance of the things that this world has to offer. What is it Solomon says? In the end, he says, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. And as the Apostle Paul spoke in regard to the saints at Philippi, he says that man needs to be as he was, and that was content with the things that God blesses him with. Greed causes trouble even within the family. I have an opportunity from time to time whenever I counsel with couples, and the major problem, the number one problem that I deal with time and again is finances. People aren't satisfied with what they make, and if they have an abundance coming in, they want to spend even beyond what it is that they have. Money causes all kinds of trouble within the family, and oftentimes we will find individuals where that their focus is upon the here and now and upon greed, upon money and the possessions, and they will give their life over to that end, working continually. From time to time I hear wives, and I've even had husbands say that he or she works all the time. They're never home. They never give us any time as a family. And in that, it causes challenges. It causes these individuals not only challenges within the home and their financial situation, but it causes challenges between the marriage relationship as a whole. And couples need to understand is that their life is not to be about greed and upon the things of earth, but rather, number one, upon the relationship with God. But then second to that would be the relationship with one another as a husband and wife and their responsibilities and their love even for their children. And yes, we do have a responsibility to provide for our home, but yet at the same time to not allow greed to get in the way of making a home successful. Wisdom and knowledge are better than riches. Those individuals who pursue wisdom and those individuals who will pursue knowledge, these go hand in hand. These individuals will find that their life is much better than those who have an abundance of things or a big bank book, if you would. In regard to what it is that we need to pursue in life, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, the King James says, study to show yourself approved to God. The New King James says, be diligent to show yourself approved to God. For a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And good people, we have the blessing and the opportunity, the privilege to be able to have God's inspired, inerrant, and complete Word for our availability for study so that we are able to understand our God. And God says that as students of His Word, we need to understand how to rightly divide, that is, to understand the interpretation that is found in the Scripture. Not to be like the religious world as a whole who does not understand. And the way that we're going to be able to attain that is if we're diligently studying God's Word in our lives to be able to gain knowledge. And when we gain knowledge, then also wisdom ought to come with that, to practice the practical aspects of Christianity as God lays before us. The inevitable results are very clearly taught in Scripture. Greed corrupts our faith. We realize, as is taught in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. Those who come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. As we look to our faith is a belief in God, but also it is in part trusting in God. And as Christians, we realize that while we have a role to play in earning a living for our family, the bottom line is that God is in control. And therefore, we trust that God's always going to be there with us and for us, and that God is always going to supply for us. An individual who goes after money and the possessions of this earth solely, these individuals have greed in their life, and therefore that greed corrupts their trust, their faith in God. But also, good people, it ruins biblical love. We realize here in the context of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. This love here takes precedence. This love here takes a first over their love for God. And God is to be the recipient of the ultimate He ought to be the focal point of our love. We are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, what does that mean? It means that we need to love God with every fiber of our being. And those individuals who have greed in their life, and they pursue that on a continual basis, what does that say or identify about their love for God? Good people, greed ruins true biblical love in our relationship with God. It destroys inner peace. You talk to individuals who have greed in their hearts, you will find these individuals are never content. These individuals always have turmoil going on in their within themselves, but they also have strife and turmoil always going on within their life. They're never satisfied. And in this, then they have no inner peace. Why? Because they lack a relationship with God. And the only way in which we're able to have true and sustained peace is if we put God first in our life, to make Him the supreme, the goal in our life. But also, greed takes away from our eternal hope. those individuals who pursue this world. They are pursuing the temporal versus that which is eternal. And God says that whenever these individuals would stand before Him in judgment, good people, they have everything in this world to answer for. Why? Because they have taken the things of this world versus looking to the things that God has prepared for us. What is it that God wants you and me to think in regard to greed or our life here? We need to be careful about measuring ourselves according to the things or according even to other people of this world. The Scripture tells us, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. The world tells us, pursue a large bank account. The world tells us, build bigger and better homes. Build not only bigger and better homes, but they say, buy the big fancy cars and invest in world stock and things of that nature. And measure yourself by the Joneses. The Joneses get a bad name, don't they, by that? In that, what is God trying to say unto us? We need to be careful about measuring ourselves to others as well as to worldly standards or worldly possessions. Why? Because there is a way that seems right to men, but the end thereof is a way of death. In fact, in the day of the judges, Israel had no king to rule over them, and every man did what was right in his own sight. And I want to say that we're not far from that here in the United States today. Every man, every person's wanting to do whatever's right in their own sight, and as Christians, in reality, we know that that's not the standard that we need to hold to, but rather that God's Word is the standard that we need to look to whenever it comes to our whole existence here. But also, remember that material wealth is only temporary. The Scripture clearly tells us as children of God that we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because the world is passing away. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and following, Peter said that whenever Jesus Christ returns, that this earth will melt with fervent heat. Everything in this earth is going to be destroyed. The Jehovah Witness needs to understand that, don't they? Because they say that He's going to come and He's going to reformulate this earth and it's going to be a paradise on earth. That's not what Peter says. Peter very clearly says that everything in this earth is going to be destroyed. What does that do for you and me? We're going to be transformed. We're going to be taken away from this earth to stand before God in judgment. And guess what? We're not taking anything with us. We're going to appear before God as a new creature, as a soul. And that soul will spend eternity based out of the way in which we have lived our life. Have we lived our life for the material, which is temporary, or are we living our life for the spiritual, which is eternal? But also, God wants you and me as Christians to understand and to count our many blessings. We are truly blessed here at East End, individually as well as collectively. And because of the fact that God blesses us on a continual basis, if we have money to spare, if we are able to help individuals who are poor or those individuals who are less fortunate, then you and I ought to do what we can to reach into our pockets, to reach into our blessings, and to help those individuals who might have a need. In fact, we know that most certainly it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. And God also tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 that we have an obligation to such. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith. But then also God tells us that we need to be careful about what it is that we ask for. Sometimes individuals who are unlearned, whenever it comes to God's Word, they will pray for material wealth. They will pray for material blessings. And in that, there's nothing at all wrong with praying that God will help us to be able to provide for our families, that God will bless us with good health, wealth, and riches, or health, wealth, and ability to be able to work in His kingdom. And in that, though, we've got to make certain that as we are praying for such, is that we're not looking for the things that these things will buy, but rather so that as God blesses us in regard to these ways, is that we use these things for the glory of His name, that we will use them to provide for our family's essentialities, that we will use them in the kingdom of our Lord, that we will give back as we have been prospered, so that the work here can continue to abound, but also then so that we will use them in an evangelistic way as we would help those who are less fortunate or poor, that our God, our Heavenly Father, would be glorified amongst all things that we have. Greed can destroy an individual, but yet at the same time, a love for God will lift us up in such a way that we will no longer be able, so that we will no longer focus upon greed, so that we will no longer focus upon the things of this world. Why? Because if we truly love God, the way in which God calls upon us to love Him, good people, our number one goal in life will be to serve Him and to spend eternity in heaven with Him. I hope and pray tonight is that no one is serving mammon, that no one is serving money, yet at the same time, amongst the individuals in a crowd this large, sometimes that is the case. And if you are an individual who is greedy, if you are an individual who your focus or your focus or pursuit is about the things of this world, we want to challenge you to a better way of life, a life that loves the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, a heart that trusts in God, and a heart that looks beyond this life into the eternal life in heaven. So tonight, which master are you serving? If you're not serving Jesus Christ, why are you not doing that? If you've not submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, we want tonight to be that night that you will wake up and that you will say, I have been wasting my life, and I want nothing more than to be right with God. I want to be counted as a child of God. I want to serve God. And if we can assist you tonight before you leave here to put Christ on in baptism, we'd love to be able to do that. If you're here and you require more study, we're willing, so willing and ready to sit down and to study God's Word with you. Or if you're here and you are a member of the church, yet at the same time you've allowed sin to take you back and to enslave you, we also stand willing and ready to pray for you if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way.